Good morning, church. And we're continuing our series entitled The Church. And as given in our video this morning, we're going to be talking about more than a building. And the church or the statement, church is more than a building, means that while a church building is can be a place of worship, the true essence of a church lies in the assembling of people who gathers here. If the building would have burnt down last night and we met out on the church parking lot, the Church of Christ at Harlan would still be here today. It's more than just an assembling of the people that gather here. We're sharing a common faith and a love for God. Rather than just the physical structure itself, it represents the collective body of believers, not just a place to attend services. And so the first thing we want to look at this morning is the idea that the people are the church, not the building. The people are the church. The Bible often refers to the church as the assembly of believers, not the building that they meet in. I remember at one time they met on Solomon's portico, the front of the temple there. But the church was the people. Nowhere in the Bible do we ever read of somebody joining up with the church. So many times you may hear that. I know I hear that at times when talking to people about their fellowship here with the church. They may make reference to joining up with the congregation. Well, it doesn't happen that way. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those that were being saved." And when we go back and look, what were they doing to be saved? They were being immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That makes them a part of the church. And when we think of that, it's the church universal. Don't ever get so high on ourselves that we just think that Harlan Church of Christ is it. We are not. It's the Church of Christ universal, everywhere, around the world. I see the church as an organism. It's a living and breathing thing. It's an organism. The church is people, plain and simple. Every time someone new is added to the church, the body changes just a little. And when we look at the church as just a building, then it becomes an organization and not an organism. And there is a difference. We need to see people as what they are really, as the Lord sees us. And what is that? The Lord sees us each as individual souls that have an eternity that will spend either in heaven or in hell for all time. And so many times when we look at people, we see the differences. We see color variations. We see limitations. We see all sorts of different things. But you know what? Each and every one of them have the same thing in common that you and I do, and that's we have a soul that will live someplace for all eternity. At times, we may have struggles with people, but we should still desire to save their souls. As the church, we have not been called to win debates. We have been called to win souls. We will win souls by expressing and sharing the compassion that Christ showed to all that he came in contact with. If we truly have a desire to see the church grow, then that means we must win souls. Even in the Old Testament, it says, "He who wins souls is wise." So I guess I have to ask you, how wise are you? We claim to be wise, but it says he who wins souls is wise. Are we winning souls for the Lord? we will see in souls as expressing and sharing the compassion that Christ showed to all that he came in contact with. If we truly have the desire to see the church grow, then we must win souls. We must win people for all walks of life. Those from different backgrounds and those that might look different than us. Why is that? Because people are the church. One of the best verses that I think can serve as a reminder to that to us is that of Revelation, when it says, "And gathered in heaven will be people from all tribes and all tongues and all nations." So if we think that it's going to be just a group that looks like us and talks like us, we are so wrong, and we have limited, really, the power of the cross with that type of thinking. Next thing I want for us to think about is the church should be made up of friendships, of fellowship, and family. As we look at those things, the church is where people connect, where we should support each other and grow in their faith through shared experiences. We are to have fellowship, or to have friendship with God's people and not that of the world. And yet sometimes it seems as if we go out of our ways, out of our way to become friends with the world. What does James say about that? James 4:4, he says, "You adulteresses." And so when he's saying that, what he's talking to us about is we are the church, we are the bride of Christ. That's why he referred to us here in the feminine, because you adulteresses, if we are the bride of Christ and we do not look to him and to be his, it says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God?" Do we ever wonder why our walk with the Lord is difficult? Do we ever wonder why our time spent with Jesus may be tasking? It's because we have become friends, and we desire to become friends with the world rather than friends with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Not just somebody that God tolerates, but it says he makes yourself an enemy of God. In the Bible, God defines the church as the body of Christ, the people of God, the bride of Christ. The church is a community of believers in Jesus Christ who are united by their faith and their commitment to each other. The church, as the body of Christ, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12:27, says this, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." So who's Christ's body? Every one of us. And individually, we are members that make up that body. The church is dependent on Christ. Why is that? Because he is the head. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, he is also the head of the body, the church, in case we've forgotten already. The church is made up, as we are told at this time when it is being written, when Paul's writing this letter, of the Jews and the Gentiles. That's a way of saying that the church today can and should be made up of all people everywhere. That as we would go maybe perhaps through downtown Fort Wayne, there is no one that you would come in contact with that you could not see being your brother or sister in Christ. That we need to really reach out for that. And he says Jews and Gentiles, Christians, and is gifted by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. "For even the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We are all made to drink of the one Spirit." It is because of that that those of us that are Michigan fans and those that are us are Buckeye fans can all get along. Because it's got nothing to do about that. It's got to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're all baptized into one body, whether slaves or free, and we all are made to drink of one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. You know, the more and more I live life, the more and more I am convinced that people like to talk about the Holy Spirit, but first of all, as we've shared many times before, how they get the Holy Spirit in their life is plain and simple to me, according to the Bible. And these people may, in fact, I have no doubt, have a spirit within them. But I have a difficult time believing that it's the Holy One. Because the things that are taught, the things that are said, the doctrines that are shared are different than what Jesus teaches, that are different than what God shares. And if that's the case, then they cannot be of the Holy Spirit. As the church, we are the people of God. 2 Peter 2:10, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And really, that's really all tied along there with Coop's class that he finished up today. So many of those things that we see as commandments of the Lord, that the people of God not obeying those commandments, the only way that we get away or we slip by, or I don't even know what phraseology we want to use, is that the Lord lets it go, is because of His mercy. Do we deserve that mercy? No. But boy, we sure are thankful for it. And then thirdly, this morning, we've talked about the church or the people. We've talked about friendship, fellowship, and family. And thirdly then, as our video shared, we need to understand that the church goes beyond these walls. That the church goes beyond these walls. And that can be difficult at times. Maybe those brought up in a denominational household see the church building as that it is, you know, where God's at. Well, we're told in scriptures that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And so, yes, that can be in that building, but it can be outside of this building as well. Even when not physically gathering, being gathered in a building, the church community continues to exist and serve others. The church is a very visible representation of the kingdom of God. And that's one of the things that we need to understand as we read the Bible, that the church is made up of very visible things, and the church is made up of very invisible things. And all of these are aspects of the church. The church is marked by God's presence and filled with the fullness of Christ. As was touched on in Sunday school, as was touched on in our communion meditation, 2 Corinthians 6:16 says this, "Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And that has nothing to do with these four walls. It has everything to do with how we live our life for Jesus Christ. And so with that, at this juncture in our sermon, I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to share some news with you from the church here at Harlan. We will be putting forth a greater effort as we move forward here in 2025 to go beyond these walls. The church has already leased out an assembly space at 13602 North Main Street in Grayville to facilitate this outreach. It's been said, I'm not saying this is the case at Harlan, I'm just saying what Bible pop culture writers write today, that it's been said that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. To have this be a functioning outreach, we will need more than a 20-80 paradigm to make this happen. The church will need those that are involved to be more involved. The church will need those that have been somewhat involved to be even more involved. The church will need those that have not been involved to seek ways to get involved. And here are some of the ways, and if you give us a click, here's our logo and what our goal and mindset is it's going to be called the just back it up there for just a second. There you go. The Healing Place, to extend hope, encouragement, and a loving place for anyone and everyone in our community and extending communities. We really desired to have a place here in Harlan to make this happen at first, but through much prayer, the Lord has led us to a location there in Grayville that we can make these things happen. The Healing Place will look to serve those outside of the church as well as those in the body of Christ and in the surrounding community, offering these free resources to those that need them and can benefit from them, all in the name of Christ. The Healing Place will exist to extend hope, encouragement, and to be a loving place that is needed for individuals' souls to be healed. Now the next one, some of the things that we're looking to offer. We've already started these processes. Number one is on-site Celebrate Recovery, at least once a week meetings, if not multiple meetings. Celebrate Recovery's mission is to help people to overcome their hurts, their habits, and their hang-ups through a Christ-centered 12-step program. And this program's goal is to help people reconnect with God and find a new way of living. Celebrate Recovery. Is there anyone in here that has never been hurt by another Christian, by the world, by life, by whatever it may be? I've been sharing in Celebrate Recovery as well, and I think this would be something that is a good opportunity for you to have to heal, and to also have your friends, family, loved ones to heal through this program. Another program that we look to start immediately is the Grief Share program. We have had several that have been a part of this, and my thought is, why not have the church here at Harlan be a part of this? There are people in our group here and those that we come in contact with that struggle with loss, with grief. And that can be of many different sorts, but usually we think of that as someone who's lost a loved one and is just having a difficult time moving on with that. But Grief Share's mission is to help people who are grieving the loss of a loved one by equipping local churches to provide support groups for this. And again, it's a very interactive thing. This one runs, the Celebrate Recovery is a 52-week program. Every week you have the opportunity to be there. Grief Share sets up like a quarter class. It's a 13-week program for you. And maybe you're only there to help people through their pain. But I know we'll need people to help with that. Another one, maybe into the fall and the winter, is what we're hoping to get started, is as we're trying to help people heal on all facets of their life, is the Financial Peace University. Many people have mental and physical aches and struggles in their life because their finances aren't what they should be. And this would be a way of that. And we have those that will come in and help, and even of our own group that have said they will do whatever it takes to be able to make this possible for our group. But the Financial Peace University, this is a mission of Financial Peace University, FPU, is to empower people to make good financial decisions and achieve their financial goals. And it's not just so that you can balance your checkbook. What this is in reality is for is so that you can in turn bless the kingdom, bless the church, how you have been blessed. Gives the empower and give hope to everyone from the financially secure to the financially distressed. Other things we are looking to open up in there, and not to affect our help with the Leg Up ministry, but we will also be doing a clothing closet where two or three times a year we just open the doors and we'll have clothes ready for and household items ready for people to come in take what they need. No cost. They just come in, and it's just a way of letting the church know that if you're hurting some way, even in just that you don't have a toaster, that becomes big things to some people, that the church is going to do whatever it can do to help make a difference in their life. One of the neat things that I found about the location the Lord has led us to here is that if you're familiar with where the food pantry is in Graybill, we're going to be right next door to them. And so that's why I had never intended for any of this to be a part of that. We've got food pantry here in Harlan. We've got it in Graybill, but hopefully they can help send out what our mission is. But this clothing closet would be available to those. We would do possibly drives in the beginning or returning back to school for kids that need school items and things of that nature. Also, we've got planned community dinners. In starting this, I also found that some have already started in the shelter house at Harlan once a month doing community dinners. We may be involved in that effort as well because we have the opportunity to share that as the congregation ourselves. There may be a different congregation each week or each month that does that, but we would be involved in that for just our group making that provision. But whether or not we get involved with that, we will still be doing that over there. We're looking into possibly using like the Fooder Gong over in Graybill for that. Have drive-through meals come in. People come and pick up meals. They can stay in there and eat. We pray with them. We offer them other services that we're trying to help. And so depending how many volunteers we get, and this will either be a monthly thing, maybe a weekly thing, because as we found through the youth center and other activities in Graybill, there are a lot of kids that go home hungry and then stay hungry all night. And not just trying to help the kids, but the families that need that as well. Also, this would be a place for us to have a church teaching and training center for classes, such as the live classes that we used to have for men and women separately. I've got and challenged some of our leaders here already to, I would love to have open to the community a Bible 101 class, a church 101 class, things of that nature. And I do share with you, so many people say, so why don't we use that room? Why don't we use the church basement? Why don't? Because there's a lot of these activities that we cannot be involved with or have them participate or going on during school functions. And if you're here in a part of the school and work with that, you know how busy and the building is. And so this is why we've looked beyond this as well. I also want to point out that Becky Peters helped us design our logo there. So we're thankful for her getting involved with this as well. And we'll need all sorts of people to do all sorts of other things, because I'm hoping that as we go on with this, there'll be other things that we can say, hey, let's open this up for this as an opportunity, events or activities. And all for the greater purpose of when we read that Jesus had compassion on the people, he wanted for them to heal. We're told that Jesus wants for us to have a life, and that in him more abundantly. And so this is where the elders and the deacons have been 100% supportive to this, and we've already... we start the lease on the building on Saturday, March 1st. And so they've already been in there and got their portions done for us. And we will have work that we need to do to get that ready to go. But this is something now to add to your prayer list, add to your, I want to be a part of this, because I've got some questions for you. Bob, the first question, will this take time? I guarantee it. I guarantee you that it'll take time. Our hope is that we have several people that move from beyond that 20% of the people doing 80% of the work that will take on some of these activities so that it won't become a stress or something that gets us off our kilter and get more people involved to do a greater work. Number two, will it take money? Yes. I'd already expressed to the elders, to the deacons, what kind of a financial goal we're looking at. They've been 100% supportive in that to make that happen. And so, yes, it's going to take money. It's going to take time. Will this take effort? Yeah. Okay. It's not just going to be a place that we open a door and all of a sudden people are going to come in. The first time we do a group session, there may not be anybody there. And so don't get discouraged. But we still have that opportunity to share and to do that, prep ourselves for this time coming. So will this make a difference? I don't know. What's the answer? Yep, it's up to you. It's up to you. We've got ideas, we've got plans, we've got ways that we're hoping to help those in the community. We have so many that you can see on a daily basis at the Dollar General, at the gas stations, at the shopping centers, of people that are living in a hurting world. We want to offer a healing place for them. Ultimately, all of this is so that we can get to those classes of Bible 101, of Church 101, of Christian 101. You know what? And even if we do this for a year and we have one person become a Christian, or we do this for 100 years and have 100 and have just one person become a Christian, I believe it's well worth it. It's for us to let the world, the hurting world, know that there are people out there that want to point them to Jesus. And I've sat back and I've looked, and denominational groups around us, on all sides of us, are doing these things and bringing people in and sharing a false gospel with them. I think it's high time the church stands up and we offer these things and be the church that the Lord is longing to come after and move to a greater number that's in these pews today and to a greater number beyond these walls. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, and this is what our message is, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you willing to repent of your sin? Confess Jesus as Lord? to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then living faithfully. Ephesians 4, it's one of our passages that we look at, is for us, the church, we are going to do our best to equip you. The leadership of the church is going to do our best to equip the church to be what Jesus wants us to be. And we don't have to worry about being an overcomer. John 16:33, we're told Jesus has already done that for us. All we have to do is share that message with the world that needs it so desperately. Pray for this. There'll be things that'll be coming up that we will ask you to participate in. Just set aside right now, as Christians, if we're asked to do something for the Lord and lost souls, my answer will be yes. If not, then we have to really reevaluate what I'm doing as a Christian. It's to bring others to Him so that we can all be in heaven one day. The church is built on one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ, her Lord. Do we believe that? Do we want for all to share in that? Here's our opportunity. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?